And of course, the format has changed once again. We're 10 in the top tier, 10 in the First Division, and it's the Premier Division that kicks off next weekend. Delighted to say that Dave Donnelly of extratime.ie joins me on the line. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
Very good. Well, Dave, the new season not far away, and of course, it's getting a little bit like Real Madrid and Barcelona here. We would expect once again that Dundalk and Cork City will be the top two.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. I think even pre-season has kind of shown those two teams are kind of out ahead a bit still. You'd expect Shamrock Rovers, maybe Derry City, to kind of look to maybe keep on challenging them again next season, and St. Patrick's Athletic as well will kind of be challenging for Europe. But in terms of the title, I suppose you can't really look past Dundalk and Cork City, even with the players that they've lost.
Yeah, and I know Ollie Horgan of Finn Harps has made the point, if you look at the league table and the amount of money that has been spent in recent years, usually there's a little bit of a parallel there, that the clubs with the money generally do quite a bit better.
Yeah, it seems it's generally the case, yeah. And I think, last season maybe Bohemians kind of booked that trend a little bit, finishing fifth, but probably second lowest budget in the league maybe. But in general, yeah, you look at the teams that spend the most money, I think, Derry City even maybe perform a little bit better than their budget suggests, but I'd guess that Cork and Dundalk will have the biggest budget next season. Maybe Cork a little bit above Dundalk, so it's going to be neck and neck, I'd say. But it's going to be an exciting season, I think, at the top and bottom of the division.
Yeah, in terms of the transfer market to date, there's been quite a bit of movement of players. Any particular transfers that really stand out?
I suppose the most eye-catching one was Shamrock Rovers signing the former Ireland international Joey O'Brien, who was obviously at Bolton Wanderers in West Ham for a good few years. He's been out of the game for the last 18 months or so, but he's come back, he's injury-free, and he seems to be flying in pre-season. So, it's always great to see a former international come back to the league and be buying a trade. I think he's still only 31, 32, so he's a decent age to play in this league. So that's one eye-catching one. The Lithuanian international Karolis Chadukas. I'm not quite sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but he's signed for Dundalk as well, and it'll be interesting to see kind of what level he's played at. He's been with Sidova in the Lithuanian Premier Division. He's competed up to the playoff round in Europa League, so I don't think he'll be he won't be taking a step up going to Dundalk. I think he's definitely a player to really look out for in midfield there. Obviously, it looks like Sam Byrne might be coming back from Everton, going to Dundalk as well. So they'll have plenty of options up front with Ronan Murray there as well, coming in from Galway, and Pat Hogan coming back from England as well. So, I expect in terms of if you look at teams over the last few years, Dundalk have been the ones who generally score the most goals, and I expect that probably to be the case again this year.
Yeah, and in terms of the league profile, Dundalk's exploits in Europe certainly doing it no harm at all, and Cork City knocking at the door a little bit as well. We're still awaiting that big breakthrough in the Champions League, but maybe not too far off. And it's also meant that a lot of money has come back to the clubs like Dundalk and Cork City, and ultimately it has to be good for the league.
Yeah, well, if you even look at the figures from last season, Dundalk and Cork City are bringing in multiples of the money they'd even get for finishing in the top two in the league. So, Europe's become a huge thing. And even this year, they've changed the format in the Champions League again, where they've made it more difficult for teams like Cork City to qualify as an extra round to go through. But the upshot of that, I guess, is that you're automatically bumped down to the Europa League now, even if you lose your first game. So Dundalk will have at least four games in Europe. So, there's kind of a bit of extra money coming with that as well, and I think that's only going to emphasise the difference between the haves and the have-nots, if you like, in the league. The top four are definitely going to benefit from that.
And Dundalk in the news also because of let's face it, not that long ago they weren't far off going bust, but new investors there. Any indications as to what sort of difference that's going to make?
Well, they held a meeting last week in the Dundalk in their youth development centre right beside Oriel Park, and a group of maybe, 50 concerned fans asking questions of the investors, and they more or less came out and said that their priority now is to put more money into the first team, get back to win the league, and hopefully crack Europe. So that's going to be their focus for the next few years. They seem to not be keen on any sort of major upgrade to the ground there, as Derry City have done with the Brandywell. So I think it's going to be, they're going to be putting a lot of money into the first team. Maybe not a huge amount, but more than they're putting in now, and they're really going to be prioritising jumping back over Cork City and getting access to that extra few hundred thousand euro you get when you win the league.
Yeah. Now, Derry City, you mentioned there, the Brandywell, not quite finished. Big renovations going on there. Of course, they played at McGinn Park last season, and it's not exactly been ideal in that they haven't been able to have pre-season friendlies at home. Looking at the pre-season friendlies that have happened around the country, anything stand out? Any surprise scorelines there that can give a hint of what may lie ahead?
Well, I suppose the big one for me, my first pre-season game I went to was Bray Wanderers against Wexford, who finished second bottom of the first division last year, and they quite handily beat one of the best teams in last year's Premier Division 3-0. So I think certainly it looks like Bray might struggle a little bit this year going back down to part-time football, but I think Derry City's results in pre-season have been a little bit mixed. Sligo Rovers had a couple of very good results and a couple of very bad results. They put a bit more money into it this year. They brought in some players from abroad, like Adam Morgan, from the ex-Liverpool striker. So, you know, I don't think any team has really stood out for consistency. I suppose Dundalk have won all their games. They'd be the front runner. But I think, I suppose the biggest pre-season game of all will come tomorrow in the President's Cup between Dundalk and Cork City.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned their Bray Wanderers. I think it's fair to say they've punched above their weight. This must be their, 14th, 15th season in a row in the top flight. They continue to maybe do better than many people give them credit to. But this time around, less money, less full-time players. It could be a bit of a struggle for them this season.
Yeah, having watched them, I certainly think it will be. They went scoreless in their first two preseason games. They were 3-0 down within 10 minutes of their Leinster Senior Cup game against St. Patrick's Athletic. They eventually scored a goal in that game. They had a draw, I think, yesterday with Drogheda United, but it's not looking great, and I think they've got a new manager in there as well, with a different style than Harry Kenny last year did, so it's all sort of changed there, even though they have kept on a few of their senior players from last year. I think it will take them time to adapt, certainly, and in this division next season, with the possibility of two teams going down and, you know, eight teams basically full-time football, it's going to be very difficult for them if they do get a slow start.
Yeah. What about Limerick? Killian Cantwell, former Finn Harps player, he's signed for them. They've made a few astute signings. Maybe they expected to do better last year. There was a change of management personnel. How do you assess their chances?
Yeah, they were the other team, along with Bray Wanderers. I think the most people were a little bit worried about going into the start of the season. Obviously, the manager, Neil McDonald, walking out a couple of months before the start of the season, it's far from ideal, and they've brought through Tommy Barrett from the under-19s to manage the side. Now, he's obviously untested at this level as a manager, but he has brought in a few good players. Killian Cantwell, as you mentioned, I think a few other teams were looking at him, and a few other teams would have been quite happy to have him in their squad. So I think the major thing for Limerick is the fact that they've lost Chidozie Ogbene's gone to Brentford, and Barry Carter's gone to Ipswich Town too. You know, teenagers who were shown, you know, great hints of form last year. I think Ben was their second highest scorer after Brazilian Rodrigo Tassi. So, you know, I think it's going to be quite difficult for them. It's going to be a transition season. But compared to Bray Wanderers, compared maybe to Bohemians, the advantage that they do have is that they're training during the day. They're playing full-time football. So that will obviously aid them in the sense of rest and recovery, especially with so many midweek games front-loaded at the start of the season.
I'm talking with Dave Donnelly of extratime.ie as we look forward to the Airtricity League Premier Division, which begins next weekend. Derry City's first game, Dave, is away to Waterford United. It's a big step up for Waterford. They've got a bit of money behind them in the last few years. And Derry, because of the Brandywell not being ready, their game against Sligo, which was to be their first home game, that has been reversed to Sligo. They then have a scenario now that they're going to have the first three games away from home, and that's far from ideal from a Kenny Shields' point of view.
Yeah, I think maybe the way the fixtures were drawn up, I'd say they probably did give Derry an away game first, just to give them an extra little bit of time to get the Brandywell ready. But unfortunately, I think it's mainly cosmetic changes that they need to make, but it's going to take a little bit longer. So financially, in terms of the club as well, you're going to need that home game at the start of the season to get the ball rolling and everything like that. So it's going to be difficult. But in terms of terms of a first game of the season, I think you probably want to be playing the team that's coming up, even a very financially strong team like Waterford. You know, it's going to be a new level for them. They've brought an awful lot of new players in. So I think Derry will have that little bit of continuity in terms of their squad. I think having Kenny Shields done wonders there in the last 2 years, have them punching above their weight, and I'd expect them to do so again this season. But in terms of an opening couple of games, it's not ideal to be going away from home. But at the same time, you know, once you've got through those games, you then have the promise of extra home games when the season progresses.
Yeah. And also, just to mention St. Patrick's Athletic, I was looking there the other day that I think I'm right in saying Liam Buckley, the longest serving manager, maybe not in the whole league, but certainly in the top flight. St. Pat's have had a bit of a roller coaster in recent years, and in Buckley's position himself, he was under quite a bit of pressure last year. They finished the season well, but they can't afford to start like they did last year.
Yeah, well, I think looking at the start of last year and the start of this year, there's a big difference in terms of the squad, in terms of the age profile of the squad. In July, when Pats were really struggling, they found the money to bring back the likes of Killian Brennan, bring back in the former Irish under-21 international. He was called up in the international squad, but didn't play. Owen Garvin, those two players particularly, and Jordi Balk at the back, who's since moved on, and those three players are really important, and it shows the Pats do have the resources to bring in big players if they need to. And at the start of this season, they've managed to retain most of their squad, like Conan Burney in Birmingham, the captain. Those are really important players. They brought back Kevin Toner, who's come back from Aston Villa. It looked like he was going to sign for Shamrock Rovers at one point, but he shows Pats. So that's a big sign-up for them. And if they can hit the ground running, they certainly have a manager who knows the league inside out and has proven in the past he can play this sort of football to challenge consistently for the top four and maybe even a little bit better.
So in conclusion, most people would feel it's between Dundalk and Cork for the title. Shamrock Rovers have maybe underachieved in the last few seasons. If they can get a good start, they might be in the mix. Derry City will probably do well to finish in that top four again. Then you have the likes of Sligo and Pats and Bowes, probably mid-table, with the others scrapping it out. How competitive a league do you think it's going to be this year?
Well, as I said, there's going to be eight full-time teams and only two part-time teams, and I fully expect of those two part-time teams, Bohemians are going to be well punching above their weight just in terms of the players that they can bring in, the youth setup that they have now, the link-up with St. Kevin's boys. They'll always have a constant stream of players, and obviously they're based in Dublin where the biggest stock of players are. So, you know, in terms of teams that are going to be challenging towards the top end of the table, I certainly think there's at least five, possibly six teams who will be challenging for those European places. Derry City, if you look at it, they're probably the team that are under the most threat of rolling back on last year in terms of they've lost a few important players. Barry McNamee is going to be an absolutely massive loss. He's gone to the Champions, so he scored 10 goals, I think, on his own from midfield last season. So he's, you know, in terms of making the team tick, and I think Kenny Shields very much base the team around him, so how well that they can cope with his absence will be interesting to see. I think that being able to bring Nicky Lowe back in from Dundee has been huge in terms of locking down their midfield. They brought in Roland Hale, who was very impressive last year for Galway United, and also his brother, the striker Roland Hale, has come over from, I believe it's at Birmingham City. They're both grandsons of the Derry City legend Danny Hale, of course. So it'll be interesting that again, from Derry City's point of view, it's a young team, but Kenny Shields has shown in the past that he's able to bring through young players and supplemented with players from, you know, from England and from the continent. So in terms of maybe those two extra European places, I know one goes to the FA Cup, but the FAI Cup, but generally in the past few years neither Cork or Dundalk could win that, so it's not really a problem. But yeah, I think I'd see Pats challenging, I'd see Sligo Rovers possibly challenging, and expect Shamrock Rovers and Derry City to be up there again. But, you know, that's going to be the most competitive part of the table, that, you know, third to sixth spot.